Part 12, Chapter 1. The recreation hall of the compound was ablaze with light and bursting with noise. It was jammed full of cyclos, and they were mostly drunk. It was a grand party on the evening of the semi-annual firing. Char and two other executives were going home. It was something to celebrate. The end of a duty tour on this accursed planet. Attendants rushed about with saucepans of Kerbango held 6 or 8 at a time in their paws. Female cyclo clerks, released from the cowed decorum that was their normal lot, joked and got their bottoms smacked. A couple of fights had already started and ended without anyone discovering what the fight had been about. Games of chance and marksmanship were a tangle of disorganized confusion. Jokes of a bawdy and discreditable nature were being buffeted at the departing executives.
Have a saucepan on me, at the Claw in Imperial City.
Don't buy more wives than you can handle in one night.
Tell him a thing or two at the home office about what it's like out here, the mangy slobs.
The atmosphere was so convivial that even Kerr was included. And the midget sat with pompous importance, trying to judge a contest of how many bites a minute could be taken from a saucepan with the participant's paws held behind him. 5 executives were chanting a school yell that went,
"Cyclo, cyclo, cyclo! Kill him, kill him, kill him!"
over and over, tunelessly but loud. Down back of the firing platform, a train of pack horses, hoofs muffled with furred hide, moved silently out of a ravine and through the dark toward the unlit morgue. The greenish compound glow reached toward them unrevealingly. A faint clink of metal as Angus McTavish unlocked the morgue door with a master key. Char was very drunk, drunk and reeling. He walked unsteadily over to Turl, who looked drunk, but was cold and tensely sober.
"That's a good idea," said Char.
He was always a nasty drunk, and the more he drank, the nastier he got.
"What is?"
said Turl through the uproar.
"Tell him a thing or two at the home office,"
hiccuped Char. Turl went very still. Char did not see his eyes narrow and flame. Then Turl said in a drunken slur,
"I got a little present for you, Char. Go outside for a minute."
Char lifted his eye bones.
"Ain't got a mask."
"There's masks beside the doorport,"
said Turl. Unobserved by the rest, Turl steered him to the hall, and they got into masks in a tangled fashion. Turl went through the atmosphere lock, dragging Char behind. Turl led him down near the zoo cages. There was no fire burning. It was too late. There was no bundle in front of the cage. The spring chill of the exterior revived Char a trifle, and he returned to being nasty.
"Animals,"
he said.
"You're an animal lover, Turl. I never did like you, Turl."
Turl was not listening to him. What was that down by the morgue? He peered more closely. There were animals down there.
"You're awful clever, Turl, but you're not clever enough to fool me."
Turl took a couple of steps toward the morgue, trying to see in the dark. He took out a pocket torch and flashed it in that direction. Brown hide? Hard to see. Then he got a better view of it. A small herd of buffalo. They'd been drifting north for days now, mixed in with some horses. He turned the torch off. The casually walking hoofs were distant, tiny thuds. Louder were the squeaks and crunches of the new spring grass being pulled up as the herd grazed its way along. An owl was hooting off somewhere. usual nonsense of this accursed planet. He gave his attention back to Char. Turl put his arm around Char's shoulder and guided him back to a point where the circles of the compound domes made a recess as they met. It was very dark here, hidden from all views.
"What didn't fool you, friend Char?"
asked Turl. The owl hooted again. Turl looked around. There were no vantage points from which they could be seen. Char was sneering.
"The blast cap smoke,"
he said, putting his face mask very close to Turl's. He reeled, and Turl held him up.
"What about it?"
"Why, that wasn't no blast gun that went off in old Numph's office. That was a blasting cap. You think an old mind boss like me can't smell the difference between a blast gun and a blast cap?"
Turl's paw was reaching for the small of his own back, under the jacket. He'd been trying to work out a way to furnish a reason for launching the gas drone day after tomorrow. He suddenly had it, and without stirring up any psychic powers either.
"A point and cur, that miserable excuse just hours before. Oh,"
exclaimed the hostile Char.
"You are clever enough for some people, but I see through you, Turl. I see through you."
"Why, what did you think?"
"Think? I didn't have time to think. When I get home, I can tell them a thing or two. You ain't so smart, Turl. Think I don't know one smoke for another? And people will agree with me when I get home."
Turl shoved 10 inches of stainless steel knife into Char's heart. It was the knife Johnny had given Chrissy. He lowered the sagging body down to the ground. He took a nearby scrap of discarded tarpaulin and covered it. Turl went back to the cage and looked in. The girls were sleeping. The buffalo herd was still moving quietly past the morgue. Turl went back inside. There was more to do tonight, but just now, the party must not realize he had been absent. He joined the psychos who were chanting. They were very drunk. Down at the morgue, men moved carefully, so as not to disturb the buffalo they had drifted in on the place from the plane. The horses were unloaded and gone. Nobody had observed the murder of Char. It was not possible to get that close to the domes without being seen. Those in the morgue continued their work, unaware that a new factor had been entered into planning, one they did not know about and had not predicted. The farewell party continued to racket noise out of the compound, unaware that their guest of honor was missing.